talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
You reminded me of brighter days.
I hoped you would come at home.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was by Sheryl Crow and Kid Rock, Picture, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Ashley Rowell. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. We also organize the Charleston Home and Design Show, which happens every January. Very quick intro this morning. We're going to be got two great interviews, one with David Partridge, general contractor with Pear Tree Homes, and also Charlie Ledford with Ledford's Termite and Pest Control about those swarming termites we're experiencing right now. Have a great weekend. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and we're here at the Pear Tree Homes offices talking with custom builder and remodeling contractor David Partridge. How are you doing, David?
I'm well, Tim. How are you?
Good. Thank you for inviting me into the Pear Tree Homes offices. Take a moment and tell everyone about Pear Tree Homes.
Sure. So Pear Tree Homes is a general contracting firm. We specialize in residential remodeling, additions, and custom homes in the greater Charleston area.
Gotcha. Good deal. So Pear Tree Homes, you folks are your office is located in North Charleston, and are there certain parts of town that Pear Tree Homes does work in?
Yeah, really. We don't do much work in North Charleston. It's just kind of centrally located for where we do serve, and we go from anywhere from Edisto Beach to Mount Pleasant to Somerville. So kind of everything in between.
Gotcha. Is there tell our listeners about the Pear Tree Homes approach to remodeling projects and custom home projects? Is there a particular philosophy or something that you follow?
Yeah, so we kind of have two different solutions for building or remodeling. Whether that be working with other architects to help kind of plan the project, and then we end up building that project, or we also offer a design-build solution where we're fully designing and planning the project and then obviously building the project.
Mm-hmm.
And we focus heavily on pre-construction. We want to make sure that we plan everything in great detail ahead of time. Before we break ground, we want all the answers to all the questions that there may be.
Mm-hmm. Design build, that might be a term that folks aren't familiar with. To the way I understand it is Pear Tree Homes may take a set of plans that have been drawn by an architect or a home designer, and you're maybe looking at it from the standpoint of how can we value engineer certain things to maybe save money on save the homeowner money on a project without sacrificing the integrity of the project overall. Is that about right?
Not exactly. I mean, design build is working with the client to create the design that fits their needs. So we're more involved in the planning process. We're more involved in kind of fine tuning those details of the plans, and then ultimately you know, finalizing those plans and building the project.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Everybody who has a project, whether it's building a new home or a remodel project, they're all on a budget. What are some of the things that go into a project that might throw off a budget? For instance.
Well, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of parts and pieces that are behind the scenes, behind the walls that people don't tend to consider. There's also some kind of bare minimums for us that you know, methods that we believe are the best practice, and that we kind of aren't willing to sacrifice on. There's also recommendations of areas that we, you know, recommend spending the money that makes the most sense ahead of time, like plumbing fixtures, for example. So, you know, there are places that that we could save money. Foundations are one thing. A lot of people don't really consider what the foundation type is going to be. And so there's different ways to save with different methods of a foundation. You know, there's various places that we can save money, but we have to learn what the client wants first and then kind of help value engineer the project to suit their needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha. And a lot of times, I imagine homeowners are coming to Pear Tree Homes with a wish list, and they you know, they've decided this is maybe going to be their forever home, or they love the neighborhood, they love their neighbors, they want to stay put, and so they just want to make their existing home better. But there's certain elements that could go into a project that will really could throw off a budget. How do you handle that with a homeowner that, you know, just breaking the news to them that, well, that metal roof that you wanted, you know, that's going to require X amount more. That's going to cause the cost per square foot to go up, or an elevator, or things like that.
Yes, we start with the needs first. You know, what's driving the project, the bare bones of the project, understanding that. We also kind of start off with a high-level budget with contingency so that it kind of covers any gray area. And then, you know, sometimes they can't always get what they want, you know, out of a project. Sometimes the budget doesn't allow for all that. So, mm-hmm. You know, we feel if we start with the needs first, throw in a few of the wants, and, you know, ideally a couple of the wish list items,
mm-hmm.
And it usually ends up going pretty well.
Mm-hmm. You get the inevitable cost per square foot question a lot. What can I expect for a cost per square foot?
We do, and it's, you know, you have to educate people on how you get to that number, and you get to that number by dividing the cost of a building or the cost of a project by the square footage. So it's kind of after it's completed is how you get that number. So, you know, we try to educate our clients and tell them that every project is different. Everything's a one-off. And so we really can't answer that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, beware the builders that do give you that answer, sometimes, because they might be putting into the budget, so let's say $5,000 for light fixtures, I've talked to many people over the years that they went with the lowest bid, the lowest cost per square foot, and then when it came to making the selections, they see that, oh wow, there's only $5,000 in the budget for light fixtures, and I just fell in love with one light fixture that costs $5,000. So the homeowner ends up having to come out of pocket, or they are very disappointed, and if they're not able to, and they have to stick to the budget, and Meanwhile, that the builder that gave them a more realistic idea of a budget, they were, the homeowner decided not to go with them and go with the cheaper builder, right?
Yeah, I mean it's a difficult balancing act when you're trying to create allowances during the planning process. You don't really know, everyone's different. So we do our best to, when in the very beginning, it's a high level budget, and we don't have all the answers, and we do kind of use allowances verbally at that time. But you don't know where people want to spend their money, and maybe they don't want the most expensive tile from Italy, and maybe they do. So it's kind of a balancing act, and you just openness, transparency, and just communication really helps with the process. Mm-hmm. So,
do you help homeowners when they're going through the budgeting process and they're trying to figure out how much for impact rated windows versus just regular windows with a DP50 and But then you also have to budget for hurricane protection that's going to cover those windows. And are you ever able to help a homeowner, this is how much it's going to be for impact rated windows, and you won't have to have any hurricane shutters or a hurricane system, versus, this is what it's going to cost for regular windows, but then you have to have the hurricane protection built in as well.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's another kind of personal preference too, because some people don't want to spend the extra money on the impact windows, and others would prefer not to have to prepare for a hurricane or a storm that comes in and trust that their windows can handle it. We do go over kind of rough cost in the beginning to help them understand, that impact windows could be 2 to 3 times the cost of a standard window. So, and even in standard windows, there's tons of different options. So, it's kind of a balancing act again.
Mm-hmm. Is that easy for Pear Tree Homes to be able to educate the homeowner on those different prices, and is it worth it to maybe have the impact rated windows where you have 24/7 protection of your home? You don't even if they're there. We get a lot of big storms here in Charleston that are not named storms, but it's nice having full-time protection of your windows in case something were to go airborne and smash into your window. So do you kind of help the homeowner through that decision-making process?
Yeah, we do. I mean, I definitely agree that I think impact windows are the better option, especially on the coast, where most of our work, takes place. So, you also got to consider somebody's going to have to put plywood up on standard windows if there's a storm coming, and maybe the client can't do that, or can't physically do that, or doesn't want to worry about finding anybody to do that when the time comes, because everybody's trying to scramble and put plywood up everywhere. So, mm-hmm. It kind of gives you that peace of mind knowing that you're covered.
Yeah. And a metal roof is another good example of how it can throw off a budget. Whenever I go over the Don Holt Bridge and look over at Daniel Island, you always see those metal roofs, and a lot of people fall in love with the look of those metal roofs. And a metal roof is going to be about twice or three times as much as an asphalt roof.
Yeah, about three times.
Three mm-hmm. times as much. So the wish list suddenly it requires the homeowner to start making some sacrifices and some compromises, right?
That's right. Yep.
I remember a long time ago talking to an architect, and he was a big advocate of a smaller square foot home. And occasionally I see wasted space in a home that adds to the cost per square foot. And this architect was an advocate for designing a home in a way that would reduce the square footage, but make sure that every square foot is usable. You don't have these blank spaces at the top of the stairs or something like that that is adding to the cost per square foot, but is not really benefiting the homeowner.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're big on planning projects that fit our clients' needs, understanding how they live in the home, what the family dynamic looks like. Do they have pets? You know, what their typical habits are, and that helps us to design spaces that are going to best suit their needs with the least amount of waste. And so we definitely take all those things in mind when mm-hmm. we're helping to plan a project. And even when we're working with other architects, we're kind of use is a big, you know, how they're going to use the space is very important versus, you know, does it look pretty? You know, everybody can do that, but I think they're going to get the most reward, you know, it's going to be the most rewarding experience if they can, if it really fits their needs the best. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Every month, and I look through local building permits on a daily basis, and every month there is about 30 or so homeowners that have decided to go it alone, and they haven't hired a general contractor. And this is for custom homes, not just remodel projects. And what message would you say to those folks that are thinking, well, I can cut that corner, and I know a little bit about the construction business. You know, maybe I can just manage the project myself versus hiring a custom builder like Pear Tree Homes.
Yeah, I mean, I would say don't do it. It can be very stressful if you don't have the connections that we have that we've made over the past 11 years. You don't know people's, subcontractors' track records. You don't know the quality of work they produce. You don't know how they communicate, how they're going to leave a job site. Maybe you don't even have the experience and know what goes in first, what happens first. We know how to coordinate a project there's been several times where we've been brought in after the fact, where clients have tried to be the GC on their own project and maybe bitten off a little more than they could chew. Mm-hmm. So, it's not for everyone, and we love what we do, and that's why we're here to help.
Mm-hmm. And it makes it difficult to, I guess hold the builder responsible when they've come in halfway through a project, because you really don't know what the quality of the subcontractors that have installed done the work on the house halfway through the project when Pear Tree Homes is coming on board.
That's right, and you don't know. You know, if we're taking responsibility, we want to make sure that everything was permitted correctly and inspected correctly, and everything's to code, and there's no, fire or life safety issues. So it's a challenge, and it's not something that we eagerly jump into. It's mm-hmm. not the type of project that we really would want to be involved with unless it, really makes sense at the time. So, mm-hmm. It could definitely be challenging.
How long has Pear Tree Homes been around?
11 years.
11 years. Okay, and you're a pretty young guy. And what did you do before Pear Tree Homes?
Well, initially I thought I was going to be a chef, so I went to school and I was a cook, line cook, several restaurants around Charleston for many years. And I think it was back in the early 2000s, I kind of made the switch to marine construction. Went to work for a couple different marine contractors in town and really enjoyed that. Then the economy kind of tanked and it changed my trajectory and got into disaster restoration, and that's kind of where I found my love for residential remodeling, and kind of the rest is history, and mm-hmm. decided to jump out on my own.
Good for you. And you get to prepare some great meals at home.
So that's right.
How often do you visit your job sites here at Pear Tree Homes?
I personally visit at least once a week. Typically on Wednesdays is kind of my field day, as we call it. We have project managers and assistant project managers that are on site daily, one way or the other. So one of us is on site daily, and we use a software called BuilderTrend to help manage our projects, and so we document those visits and with pictures and a few sentences about what's going on, and our clients have a portal that they can log into to kind of keep track of what's happening and what to expect next.
Keep track of the expenses and what's being what's being spent and so forth.
Yep, they can track the budget. They track the schedule. They know kind of what's going on, who's going to show up next, and we use it for document storage, communications. It's kind of fully encompassing how we manage our projects and how we communicate with our clients.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people just think when they hire a builder that's the person that's going to be overseeing a project. But one of the other things that a custom builder is responsible for is being the advocate for that homeowner. And so when you're visiting the job sites, you're looking for things that the homeowner may not spot in terms of imperfections or maybe an installation that didn't go exactly the way you expect it to, but the homeowner may never even notice those things, right?
Yeah, I mean, it happens all the time. I have an eye for detail, and I can notice when something's out of plumb or out of square by, an eighth or a quarter of an inch. But yeah, not only that, I mean, I'm looking for, what meets our standards. And our standards are oftentimes higher than our client's standards. And, we're not going to turn it over to them until we're satisfied because we want to sleep good at night. So, that definitely is true.
Mm-hmm. Do you, does Pear Tree Homes, ever work with out of town homeowners they've hired Pear Tree Homes for their project, but they live in Chicago or someplace else?
Yeah, quite often, we're dealing with vacation homes or second homes, rental properties, things like that. And, that's where the software that we use to help communicate really comes to play is they can be a part of the project as if they were in town and still witness everything that's going on and never lose sight of the budget, lose sight of the schedule. It definitely happens quite often. There's a couple times where we've never even met the homeowner until the project was coming, being handed over to them at the end and. It was a successful project. We got a great raving review, and you can't complain about that.
Good for you. What talk about the communication that Pear Tree Homes has with your clients as a project is underway.
What do you mean exactly?
Well, in other words, how often do you stay in touch with them? If it's an out of town client, are you sending them photos and videos, and how is there a particular plan for how often every week you stay in touch with your clients?
Yeah, so daily they get a log which we call daily logs, which they can respond to and ask questions about if that ever is the case. We also do a weekly summary, which kind of talks about what's happened that week and what's coming up the next week. And then we do major phase, typically if they're in town, we'll do major phase walkthroughs, making sure that, electrical is going where it needs to be and, cabinetry and all of that. So, we're always on top of communication. We take pride in our ability to communicate and be transparent throughout the process. So, definitely.
When a homeowner has a project going on they become very, very obsessed. They're looking online at night, comparing prices of materials and things like that. How do you handle it at Pear Tree Homes? How do you handle it when a homeowner says, I found the same light fixture online for X amount, but the lighting store charges, you know, whatever they're charging? How do you handle something like that?
Well, I mean, we typically like to use our routine vendors that we have a relationship with. We know that they can, you know, what their lead times are. We know what the quality is. We know that, you know, the product is going to show up unbroken or damaged. And so, you know, that's typically the route that we like to take. Sometimes we'll come across an instance where a client has found some item that they want to incorporate in the project, and it's not through one of our routine vendors. And, you know, we tread lightly in that. We want to make sure that it's going to contribute to the project as a whole in a good way, positive way. So, you know, we try not to diverge from our typical vendors. And also, if you know, we want to provide all the materials that go into a project because we're providing the warranty for the project. Mm-hmm. So we typically don't allow our clients to provide you know, a lot of the fixtures or things that they can find online for cheaper, just because it's cheaper. You know, because we're going to be the one that puts the warranty on the project. So,
well, and the other thing is, if you're not using local vendors for those various items, and you decide to buy that light fixture on your own, if something happens to it, if it was bought from a local vendor, Pear Tree Homes is able to go to that vendor and say, hey, I need you to whatever, replace it, fix it, come on out. And the vendor wants to keep you happy because they want repeat business from Pear Tree Homes, and versus the fixture was bought online and there's nobody there to call. So that's going to end up costing the homeowner down the road if there is something that goes wrong. And truthfully, things go wrong all the time. So it's one of those things that people should expect.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we have relationships that we've built with many vendors and subcontractors and over the past 11 years. And like you said, they, you know, we like working with each other, and we want to keep each other happy. I think we get pretty good service. We get really good pricing, some of the best pricing in town. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, quality of material and quality of install, I think is more important than finding the, you know, the absolute best price down to the penny. So.
Yeah. And even you mentioned plumbing fixtures being something not to scrimp on. People who haven't been involved in the building process, they may think, well, I wonder why these plumbing fixtures at a big box store cost so much less, or cost less, and then the plumbing fixtures, this, you know, maybe it's a Moen brand or something that they'll see at one of the plumbing stores here in town. But there's a lot of pressure that the big box stores put on some of those plumbing fixture brands to have a lower price in the big box store, and they end up using cheaper parts, plastic versus brass. And what a homeowner doesn't think about, they're only looking at the upfront cost, but if that plumbing fixture goes bad, it's going to require a plumber to have to come out. So you're going to be paying at some point. So you might as well just buy the quality fixture to begin with, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, once like a shower valve, for example, once that's in the wall, and there's tile in the shower, you know, shower glass, it's incredibly challenging to, oftentimes impossible to replace it without doing some sort of demolition or damage to the other surfaces. So mm-hmm. We definitely recommend, you know, spending the money on a quality fixture. We like Kohler. We've never had any issues with Kohler. So we typically start our clients there, and kind of work down the road mm-hmm. on that.
In the spring 2024 issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine, we did a a feature on some of the custom builders, their work in the magazine. And I'm looking at this one project that Pear Tree Homes was involved with. This was in on Edisto Island.
That's right. Yeah, that was a custom home that we built for our clients right there on Edisto Island, right near the beach.
Did anything stand out to you as far as this particular project?
Well, I mean, it was a beautiful site. First of all, it had great views of, it was right on a creek, and then it was an elevated home, so you could actually see the ocean from the main floor and from the second floor. But they really wanted a space that kind of brought the outdoors in and vice versa. So, you know, huge rear porch with large sliding glass doors that really opens up the indoor and outdoor spaces together. I think there was 10-foot ceilings in the main living. Beautiful bath, master bathroom was you know, had a nice walk-in wet room. So it was a beautiful space.
Mm-hmm. Is about how many projects does Pear Tree Homes take on at any given time?
No more than six at a time, typically. You know, 5 to 7, I think, would be our max that we focus on at one time. And typically, we're probably doing between 12 and 15 projects a year, remodeling, and one or two custom homes a year.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're kind of careful at Pear Tree Homes not to overwhelm yourself, take on too many projects, and I imagine the experience for the homeowner, they're going to benefit a lot better from something like that versus a builder that's taking on projects left and right.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we don't we manage our projects well. We don't take on more than we can handle. We don't start a project just to get a deposit and then go, you know, do demolition and then go to the, you know, bounce around to another project like a lot of other contractors do. And so you're going to end up with a better managed project when you're not trying to run 10 or 12 projects at a time. So
mm-hmm. Makes sense. Definitely. Well, how can folks get more information about Pear Tree Homes?
They can find us online, peartreehomes.net. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, or they can give us a call at our office at 843-343-5808. And we on the website, we do have a form that you could submit all of your information on as well.
Mm-hmm. And you can always find Pear Tree Homes within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with custom builder and remodeling contractor David Partridge with Pear Tree Homes. Thanks so much, David.
Thanks, Tim.
And talking to us now is Charlie Ledford with Ledford's Termite and Pest Control. How you doing, Charlie?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Charlie, take a moment and tell everyone about Ledford's Termite and Pest Control.
All right. Well, Ledford's was started by my grandfather in 75, and my dad took it over from my granddad, and now I'm here. And we do termite, obviously, and pest control. We do a little bit of rat monitoring. We don't get into exclusion work. We don't do rodent, stuff. We stick to termite and pest control.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Good deal. Well, this is the time of year that Ledford's Termite and Pest Control, you folks start getting lots and lots of phone calls because this is what is commonly known as swarming season for termites. What is swarming season?
So swarming season is speaking specifically to termites. So that's when the termite colonies have gotten so large where they divide the colony and the queen says, hey, listen, you guys need to go start another colony. So those termites swarm It's usually around this time of the year. We're not quite there yet. We're probably another, maybe 2 weeks out from it. But the termites swarm to go try to start another colony somewhere. So, in their natural environments out in the Francis Marion Forest or something, they would swarm and, go back into the ground and find moisture because they have to have moisture to survive. That's why they're a subterranean insect. But they find moisture and find an old tree stump or a tree, and they infest that tree. And obviously, what they eat is wood, so they got plenty to eat in a forest. But basically, they're swarming to start a new colony.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, where neighborhoods are, they'll still swarm because they're everywhere in the Charleston area. So they swarm, and they're typically attracted to light. So if you have your porch lights on, or if you're hanging out in the living room and you got your living room lights on, or they see light, emitting out of your windows to your house, they'll come out the ground or out of a tree, and they'll swarm to the light source, which will be your house. And typically, there's really nothing much to worry about. It's kind of more of a nuisance than anything. But however, if you have a moisture source, such as a window leak or a roof leak or anything, they can use that moisture as an area to set up a colony, and they can start doing damage. The swarmers don't actually eat the wood. They're just there to reproduce and start a colony, and then once the colony forms, then those termites are the ones that actually, will do structural damage to the house.
Where are some of the hot spots around town where people will notice the termites swarming?
Well, they're kind of widespread everywhere, but some of the, like you said, the hot spots, Isle of Palms is a real heavy area, in particular on the Isle of Palms, the Wild Dunes area, anything on Waterway Boulevard, those are really, really hot spots. Ashley Harbor, West Ashley, if you're talking over this direction, West Ashley area, you got Ashley Harbor. That's a pretty thick spot in around 61 area. If you go up towards Somerville, it's just kind of widespread, but Iron Gate, King's Grant, they got a pretty good issue with them up there. So those are some of the hot spots, mostly around the Isle of Palms, Sullivan's Island. Some of those areas are probably the most, in Hampton Park downtown.
I was gonna just about to say, you didn't mention the big one, which
that's right, Hampton Park. Yeah.
That's been
where the whole thing started.
It's been referred to as Ground Zero for
Mosin
termites.
Ground Zero. That's where the whole thing kicked off.
Yeah. So. When I moved here in 1990, I was lucky enough to buy a house on Ashley Avenue right near Hampton Park, and I remember my first swarming season. And the house was built in 1920, so it's not exactly tightly built. And so I'd start seeing these termites that would make their way from the outside into the interior of the home around windows and in the bathroom and so forth. And I panicked and went to Clemson Extension to have them identify the termites and everything. But just because you notice some of those swarmers doesn't mean you actually have a termite infestation in your home, right?
That's correct. Yeah, most of the time we get calls that, I see 10 swarmers on my windowsill or on my front porch, or I got 15 or 20. But now when you start seeing swarmers in large numbers, and by large numbers I mean like by the hundreds or even by the thousands, that's indicative that you have a problem. So when they swarm, they just kind of, it's like a broad, they just kind of swarm in a wide pattern. And so you might get a few, your neighbor might get a few, some might go to the street light or whatever. So you're going to get a portion of the swarm. But when you have an infestation in your house, you'll get the full swarm.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you'll see them in larger numbers. So typically, like I said, if you, most of the time we get calls, it's usually just more of a precautionary thing. We'll go take a look and make sure nothing's going on. But if you start seeing them in large numbers, and that's a pretty good indicator you got an issue going on.
Well, can you define that a little bit more when you say you see them in large numbers? Like, what are some of the telltale signs that you may have a termite infestation?
Yeah, so typically somebody says, hey, I got termites swarming out of my kitchen or whatever, and they're covering the countertops. They're all over the place. All right, so we'll go look, and we'll get out there. And usually the homeowner will say, hey, listen, they swarmed out of this window. And in particular, there's this little spot right here on the wall or in the window trim. There's like a little hole, and that's where they swarmed out of. And so termites, they build shelter tubes as they, go through a structure and do damage. So the purpose of that tube is to insulate them from the outside air temperature. And so as they eat through a wall, they'll come through, say, sheetrock, for example, has, paper on both sides, and they'll eat through that sheetrock. And when they come through that sheetrock, they'll call it a swarm castle. So you'll see, like, material built off of the wall. It's hard to describe exactly what it looks like, but it's almost like a dirt dauber look, kind of. So it's this material will be built off the wall, and they'll knock a hole out that little castle, and they'll swarm out of it. So typically, that's something that you'll see around windows and doorways. Termites. If you imagine a house with no sheetrock, most of your wood framing, you're going to have king studs and jack studs and headers and all kind of stuff around your openings in the house, such as windows and doors. And so that's where they're going to, termites are going to be where the most wood in the house is, which is where that's going to be. So, so that's typically where we see swarmers, where they swarm out, around the framing in those areas. You won't see them so much in the middle of a house. We got studs every 16 inches because, that one stud is not going to keep them happy very long. So they'll typically, you see them sometimes in wood floors. That's another area we see a good bit of them. But yeah, that's the primary spot is around the window and doors where to look for those signs of termites coming out of the wall.
What does Ledford's Termite and Pest Control recommend? Do you recommend that a homeowner waits until they have a problem, or what can Ledford's Termite and Pest Control do to help a homeowner prevent ever having termites to begin with?
So I recommend, I guess I'm a little biased on this because we see it every day, but I recommend doing preventative treatments. And honestly, I would say 80% of what we do is preventative treatments. The problem with waiting until you have a problem and reacting to it is you got to treat the house at that point anyway. So either way, you got to treat the house. It's better to just pay for the treatment instead of the treatment and the repairs. So we come in and treat to prevent a termite infestation from occurring. And if they do have a termite infestation, if there's no issues preventing us from offering a warranty, which there usually isn't, but we offer a warranty. So should you get termites, then we pay to fix, whatever they damage. So a preventative measure is definitely the better way to go, because it's not a matter of if you get termites, it's when you get them, if you don't have anything there to protect the house from infestation.
Yeah, and we have a lot of newcomers to the Charleston area who may not have ever had any experience with termites wherever they come from, whether it be the Northeast or Midwest or out west or the West Coast. And so it's kind of an education process. So how does Ledford's Termite and Pest Control, how do you folks treat for to prevent termites to begin with?
So we first we come out and take a look and obviously work up an estimate, offer a proposal for what we could do to treat it. So what we do a liquid treatment. We use a product called Termidor HE, which is manufactured by BASF. So we do a liquid termite treatment. We're regulated through Clemson Department of Pesticide Regulation, referred to earlier. You talked to them about you guys, Swarmers at your house. It's a great resource for homeowners, but we're regulated by them, and so we do state standard termite treatments. We do the liquid version. We don't use the bait stations. I'm just, you know, not not real trusting of them. I don't think they work quite as well as a liquid treatment. So we.
What's a bait station?
A bait station is a little, you know, a lot of people refer to them, the green things around my house. So those little green things, that's called Centricon.
In the ground?
And basically what it is, yes, sir, it's a piece of wood in a station. They typically go every 10 feet around the outside of a house. And the idea is, you know, to catch the termites in that station as opposed to eating the biggest bait station, which is your house.
Mm.
So the bait station is a great idea, and honestly, I wish they worked. It's the liquid treatments are a lot more work, a lot more labor, a lot more training. It's a lot more difficult to do the liquid treatments, but they're 100% effective. They work. The bait stations are a lot easier to install, a lot less training involved. But they're just, in my opinion, what I see, they're just not nearly as effective.
Does Ledford's Termite and Pest Control, when you're doing the preventative termite treatment, do you treat inside the house or on the outside of the house?
So on a crawl space, we're treating underneath the house in the crawl space. On a slab house, we're treating underneath the slab foundation. And like an elevated beach house, we're once again treating underneath the slab foundation around the foundation pier. So only time we ever come into a house to treat is, of course, if you had an active infestation in the house or on a slab house. If you have any, like, a tub shower inserts where the plumbing drains go through the slab, sometimes we have to come in and treat around where that plumbing drain goes through the concrete slab.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great entry point for termites to come through, and that's part of a state standard termite treatment is to treat around those plumbing drains. So on a slab house, built on the ground, we have your first living floor as a living area, you know, like a one-story slab house, we'll treat around those plumbing drains inside.
Mm-hmm. And what if after Ledford's Termite and Pest Control comes out and puts that liquid treatment down, let's say the homeowner has does a bunch of work on the landscaping and they start digging up the ground near the foundation. Does that affect the whether the termite preventative treatment is still effective?
It does. So if you physically move the soil in the area that we treated, so the area that we treat, for example, like around the outside of a house, is literally, it's a 2-inch deep by 2-inch wide area right against the exterior foundation of the house that we treat. So if you have something and you're digging it right against the house and the roots, you know, pull up and it disturbs the soil, you know, right against the foundation, then it's necessary for us to retreat that area. Now, if you're digging up a tree that's 5 or 6 feet away or a bush that's 3 or 4 feet away, then it's not really necessary for us to treat those areas. But like I said, if it disturbs the soil right against the foundation, then yeah, because you're moving the treated soil. So then it is important that we come back and retreat that area.
Does Ledford's Termite and Pest Control come out every year to retreat the soil? Or how often is that required to retreat the soil?
So we do an initial treatment. We're not allowed through Clemson Pest Regulatory. We're not allowed to retreat for 5 years from the initial treatment date. So after 5 years, everybody approaches this differently, but speaking for our company, we retreat usually in between 7 to 8 years, no more than 10. The chemical lasts for 14 to 15 years, but we treat usually your 6 or 7, we'll do a full retreat of the house. And so that retreatment is covered in your annual renewal that you would pay. So you would, you know, you do initial treatment, and then we come out every year and re-inspect for 5 years. After that 5 years, year 6 or 7, we'll say, hey, we need to retreat the house because, you know, we just want to make sure we got a fresh barrier down.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we'll do a retreat. It takes maybe half a day. And there's no additional charge for that as part of your annual renewal fee. Annual renewal fees usually run between $350 to $450 on average. They can certainly be more or less than that, but that's typically the average cost there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we do it. It's about every 7 years or so you're gonna have a full retreat.
What are the Ledford's termite and pest control technicians looking for when they're coming out to do that annual inspection?
So we're coming out, we're obviously looking for active termites. And so how we do that is on a crawl space, we go under the house and do an inspection of the crawl space for termite tubes coming up the foundation. In a garage, we're all looking around in the garage, looking at those areas around the windows and doorways. If there's any windows or doors in the garage, looking for holes coming out the sheetrock.
Mm.
In addition to that, we're also looking for conducive conditions that may, make you more at risk for a termite infestation, such as if you had a wax ring on a toilet go bad and you got the subfloors wet, or if you have, any standing water under the house, if you have, obvious signs you might see like firewood or wood stored under the house, things of that sort. But it's obviously looking for the active termites, but it's also looking for conducive conditions that give you a higher risk of having a problem.
So you don't want to put any firewood near your house, because that's like having a bait station near your house, and then you don't want any water leaks or anything, because termites need a water source to survive, right?
That's correct. They have to have moisture. If they don't have moisture, then can't have a termite problem. It's like
mm-hmm.
trying to drive your car down the road without tires on it.
What do you say to a homeowner who says, I don't need a termite contract. I've got homeowner's insurance.
Right. So homeowner's insurance, I've never run across a case in our 50 years or coming up on 50 years of business that I've never seen homeowner's insurance cover termite damage. If you don't have a specific warranty for termite damage, you're going to most likely, any experience I've ever had, you're going to be on your own on getting those repairs made.
Mm.
So if you have a treatment and a termite warranty, the treatment obviously is to stop that situation from ever coming up, but should it arise, there's a warranty in place to cover any losses or damages caused by those termites.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever encountered an aerial infestation?
Yes, sir. So we see that, more and more. It wasn't as common, but we see it more and more. Obviously, there's been a lot of development in the Charleston area, so that's obviously the reason for some of it. But the main thing I tell people to help prevent aerial infestations, because there's nothing that we can do to stop aerial termite infestations, since they're flying in and finding a construction defect, which leads to the termite infestation. So the best thing I tell people to help, and what I do on my house, is to help prevent aerial infestation, because I'm just as susceptible to getting it here at our office or my house, is to make sure your windows and doorways and everything's caulked and sealed, make sure there's no moisture intrusion. So like, for example, if you have like a stucco house, make sure there's no cracks in the stucco. Obviously everybody has windows in their house, so I'll recommend having a contractor come out every year, especially around now, this time of year, when, swarmer season is right around the corner. I would recommend have a contractor come out right before the spring of the year and check all your windows. Say, hey, listen, I just want you to take a look and make sure my roof's, everything's watertight, make sure I don't have any moisture intrusion, make sure my windows are caulked and sealed up good. If you eliminate the moisture intrusion, then you're eliminating the possibility of an aerial termite infestation as well.
Yeah, so they might you might have some fascia boards that are
right,
that the gutters are attached to on your house, and Gutters are famous for allowing water to kind of get between the gutter and that fascia board, and that fascia board starts to rot, and that's where the termites might create a nest for themselves. And then they don't, since they have a moisture source right there, they don't need the mud tubes, is what the Ledford's termite and pest control technicians are looking for, typically to coming from the soil. It's up in the air on 30 feet in your house or something like that.
Right, that's correct. That's a great example of how that can happen. And they're like I said, typically aerial infestations. We find them around fireplaces where the flashings gone bad. If your chimney caps rusted out, obviously that's going to allow water down through the chimney. We also, the number one spot we see aerial infestations around windows. Anywhere where you have a hole cut in the house, is you got to have flashing there and caulking and things to prevent from water from getting in. Those are all things that have a lifespan. They go bad, and you just have to make sure that you stay on top of it.
So mm-hmm.
You just have to be a little bit more diligent about those things in this region because of the termite issues we have here.
Well, we're almost out of time, but what's the worst termite infestation case you've seen in your experience?
Probably the worst one I've seen was actually on Isle of Palms. The house sat vacant for 4 years, and Clemson Pest Regulatory actually went out and looked at that and did a story on it. But it was a house I went out to, and literally the cabinets were laying on the floor, the doorways, the doors had fallen on the floor. I mean, the house was literally falling in on itself. And it was, partially from ground-based infestations and from aerial infestations, had a combination of both. So it was a pretty severe case. They just, like I said, they just started over and reframed the house, the foundation, and built a new house on top of it.
Wow, that can get very, very expensive. So you want to prevent that for sure. Well, how can folks get more information about Ledford's termite and pest control?
So you can look us up online at ledfordspestcontrol.com. You can also send us an email and request us to come out to your house at charleston@ledfordspestcontrol.com. Or, the best way to get in touch with us is just give us a call. Our phone number is 843-766-8298. We have a bunch of girls here in the office that can answer your call and talk to you and answer any questions and get one of us out there, myself or my dad still is out working, and we got a bunch of very well-trained, best in the business, in my opinion, technicians that can come out and take a look at it for you.
All right, great. And you can always find Ledford's Termite and Pest Control within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with Charlie Ledford with Ledford's Termite and Pest Control. Thanks so much, Charlie.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Tim.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.